And if you want to grab a Bible that's close to you and turn to Matthew 28, we're going to look a little bit at Matthew 28 and then we're going to look at a bit in Mark as well this morning as we gather around God's Word and see what God wants to say to us as a group of people today. As Leslie was praying that we would stir our hearts to do something, and I really feel actually that was really profound for what I want us to kind of think about today, because today my message is probably going to be a simple message. But actually, if we really catch hold of it, it has the power to change and transform people's lives and those around about us. I've entitled the message, for those of you that want a little bit of a title, my message title today is Go, Sow, Grow. Just three simple points, hopefully, that we will be able to remember when you get home around your dinner table. You'll be able to remember, oh yeah, Will spoke this morning. He spoke about go, sow, and grow. And hopefully you'll remember just a little bit about each one as we unpack this morning. So we're going to go, sow, and grow. And there are two elements of my message today which is all about us. It's about us having to do something. And there's one element of the message which is nothing to do with us whatsoever. And it can be hands off and we just watch God at work. Stephen's been preaching on about being a disciple. That we would be mature disciples of Jesus Christ wherever we go, the places where we find ourselves. And he's been preaching, and we looked at Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, and it says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And our focal verse for this year is that we would go and make disciples. That's who we are. That's what we want to be about as a church, that we would be a people that would go and make disciples. That we wouldn't just be a group of people that gather on a Sunday, or we gather for our discipleship groups, or we get involved in ministry areas that we get involved in, but we would also be a people that would go and would make disciples. Go and make disciples. And as a disciple, Stephen mentioned that we're a follower, we're a pupil, we're a student, we're never by any means the finished article. We're a pupil, we're a student that are learning to be more and more like Christ in who we are and what we're about. And where we go. A couple of weeks ago, Stephen showed up on the screen. Do you remember he showed the six traits of a mature disciple, for those of you that were here? And there were these just six different traits of a mature disciple, of what a mature disciple would look like. And one of them was that of shares faith stories. And today I want us to kind of think about this element of going. Going and sharing faith wherever we go. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we'd see that it is our responsibility to go and to share faith with people around us. So the first point of my message this morning is go. We go and we be Christ in our communities. We go and be Christ in the places where we are, in our workplaces, in our families, in our homes, in our social groups, wherever we might find ourselves, we go and we be like Christ in those places. Matthew 28 verse 19, it says, Go and make disciples. Jesus had lived. Jesus had died. He'd risen again. Then he meets with his disciples and he says, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples. To go is to do something. It's an action. It requires something. I looked in the dictionary to see what the word go means and what it says. You perhaps think, well, you didn't need to do that. I could have told you that. But I thought I'd look anyway just to see. The word, according to the dictionary, says to move from one place to another, to travel. So when Jesus said for us to go, for some of us, it will be just going from here to someone on the other side of the room or the other side of the street. For some, it will be just going to the other side of the office. For some, it will be people like Hannah, who we've prayed for today, to go to another country. But it requires action. It's an action word. It's something we have to do. It's not just a sitting back and thinking, well, someone else will do it. Go isn't a, well, whatever will be, type moment. To go is not someone else will do it and everything will be all right. We have to move. We have to travel. Jesus' call, Jesus' command, it wasn't just a nice idea that Jesus thought, well, if you could do this, this would be nice. It was a command that we go. That we go and that we travel. We go and we tell people, whether it's just the other side of the room, the other side of the street, or the other side of the world, we go and make disciples, because that's what Jesus has called us to. It's our responsibility, it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility to go. The second part of my message this morning is sow. So we go and we sow. In our going, we make sure that we're sowing. And we do that not just thinking, well, I'm just going like a headless chicken, just kind of going and doing whatever I do. But we go with intention to sow. We go and we sow. And a sign of a disciple, and a sign of a mature disciple, is that we share that faith with those people that are around about us. Now, you may be here this morning and saying, Will, that's great. I'm not an evangelist. And I could say, well, that's great. Okay, that's fine. You may not be an evangelist, but we're all called to evangelize. And that's what we're called to do and called to be. You may not be an evangelist in this place where you find sharing faith and speaking with people easy or okay with, and you've got ways and ideas of doing it. You may not be an evangelist, but we're definitely called to evangelize. Jesus' command was that we go and we make disciples. We go and we share faith. Evangelism is that of bringing good news. And the truth is, we're all an evangelist or evangelize about something. We all share stories about something that is good in our lives. For some of you, you might be a great evangelist about a sports team, or about a football team, or a cricket team, or any other type of team, or running squad, or whatever it is that you enjoy doing. You may talk and share about that all the time. For some of you, you might just be great evangelists about a restaurant that you've been to, or some kind of food that you've just eaten, or a music group that you enjoy. Or you just talk about your family, or you talk about a TV show. And I realised really recently I became a massive evangelist for a TV show called The Bodyguard. I kind of talked about it wherever I went. And I would just tell people, have you been watching The Bodyguard? Have you been watching The Bodyguard? Almost like it was this real thing in my life that it kind of consumed me so much. I would just talk about it and say, The Bodyguard is amazing. You should watch it. It's really good. And then I kind of got to the point where I'm like, I find this really easy just to tell someone about The Bodyguard. But we're all evangelists for something. We all share something with someone. Whatever we really love, whatever we really enjoy, it's really easy just to share those things that we get involved in. But to evangelize is to share the good news. It's not the good news about our latest TV show that we've seen, but to share the good news of Jesus Christ. To share the good news that Jesus Christ has made in my life. To share the good news that Jesus Christ has made in your life. We all evangelize about something. We just have to hone that in to be that of sharing of Jesus Christ. Flick through your Bible just a couple of pages. You'll be at Mark 4. And these are familiar words about sowing, but we're thinking about sowing today. And in Mark 4, we're going to pick it up at starting at verse 2. And Jesus was teaching in parables. He was telling stories to the people that would gather. The hundreds of people that would gather around, he would tell these stories. And this one parable, the parable of the sower, he taught them, it says in verse 2, he taught them these things by parables. And in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants scorched it and they withered because it had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Jesus is there in this moment. He tells this parable. He's talking about a farmer. He's talking about a farmer that is going out and a farmer who is sowing seed. And it wasn't like farming today with machinery and lines of crops. It was literally a man who would just go and would throw seed. And in this story that Jesus is telling, he said some seed, as this farmer is throwing the seed out, some of it is landing on a path. And as the seed lands on the path, the birds, naturally, they just come and they eat it up. And Jesus is just telling this story, this parable. Then he said, well, some of the seed that the farmer throws, he throws and it lands in rocky places. And there's not much soil. and it gets scorched and it withers away. There's other seed that lands in thorny places, and when it lands in the thorny places, it gets choked by the thorns that are there. But there is some seed that the farmer throws that lands in good soil. And in this good soil, it produces a crop. And we're in this moment where the people who had gathered to hear this story would have been quite satisfied and thought, Jesus, that is a nice story. Thank you for sharing this story. Thank you for saying what has happened in this story. And they would have been satisfied with it. But we then get the disciples and the others who gather later. And they're more intrigued because they're like, what does this mean? What is this parable? What is this story? What is it really about? Because it's got to be about something. It can't just have been about this nice farmer who throws his seed and kind of some falls in different places. The disciples were intrigued in this moment of, but what's it actually about? What does this story that you've just given to us, what does it mean? So later, Jesus, he explains this parable. So turn with me to Mark 4, and we're going to carry on from verse 13. So the disciples are together. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like seed sown on rocky places. Hear the word. At once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times. As the disciples gather, having said this parable in a different place at a different time with all of the onlookers there, the disciples are, what does this mean? So Jesus explains, the soil, it's the place where the seed falls. It represents that of the people. The seed is the word, and it's the word of God that goes out. And the farmer is the person who's sowing the seed. The farmer is the teller. The farmer is you, and the farmer is me. Now in this parable, the word is always good. The word was always good, but wherever it landed depends on what would happen to it. Depending on where the seed lands, but depending on where the word landed, depending on what happened to that word. And he goes on to explain, and as we've gone through, he said, there's some seed that falls on the path. And in the original story, he just said the path is the place where the birds just come and take it. But then he explains to his disciples in more detail. And he says, some seed, sometimes the word is sown and Satan, he takes it away. People's lives are like a hard place. And Satan will come and Satan takes it away. There's other people that are described as that as a rocky place. They hear it, they receive it, but it has no root. It only lasts for that of a short time. Trouble or persecutions come and they quickly fall away because they're that of a shallow place. Then we have the thorns where they hear it. But then there's worries in life. There's deceitfulness of wealth. There's desire for other things. There's distractions that come and take the word away because they're in a distracted place. And then there's this other place, which is the receptive place. It's the good soil. They hear it. They receive it. It produces a crop because it's a receptive place. There will be some times when, for me and for you, you will go and you will share faith with people. And you will totally understand these places from that place. You'll share your faith with someone and some people are just hardened to it. And they're a hard place and they don't want to know and they don't want to hear. And Satan comes and takes the word away. There's other times where you'll share faith and it's a shallow place or a distracted place or a receptive place. But whatever the soil, we're called to sow. It's our responsibility. It's not my responsibility to kind of cherry pick and go, well, I think they will hear the word, so therefore I'll try with them. We're to be like the farmer that just sows seed, sows word. And you might say, well, surely the farmer's just being wasteful. This is a massively wasteful farmer. Surely he would be better to kind of line it up and make sure that he puts it all in the right places. But this is a great story. It's a great example because it's real life. Because sometimes I share faith, and it's like it's thrown straight back in my face and people don't want to know. There's other times where I share faith and I think I'm getting somewhere and I think they're getting somewhere and I think their life is growing in God, and then all of a sudden something will happen in their world and it just gets totally snatched away from under them, and they don't know why and they don't know what's happened, but they soon fall away. There's other times when I will share faith with someone. They'll accept it, they'll receive it, and it will produce a crop. It doesn't matter what the soil is, we're called to sow. This really is a parable about acceptors and rejectors. That's kind of where we come to. Those people who choose to accept it, or those people who choose to reject it. But whatever the soil, we have to choose to sow. The farmer's job was to sow. Now then, I'd like just a little bit of an illustration, because I'm a youth worker by trade, and so therefore I need just a couple of people who can catch. Don't all jump at once. Who can catch? I just need three or four. Could you two stand then if you can catch? Is that all right just for a moment? Matt, you look like you can catch. Okay, no pressure. No pressure, just make sure you catch it. Simon, I reckon you can catch as well. Were you in the cricket team at school or something? No, okay, we'll give this one a go. Okay, now, I've got a chocolate bar, so it was worth standing for, okay? It was worth standing for. Now, for the purpose of the illustration, I'd really love it if you caught it, okay? This is okay. There is no pressure, you will just ruin my whole preach if we don't catch this. Okay, so, I'm going to throw it out. Oh, good catch. Round of applause for the catch, very good. Julie, are we ready for this? Just catch. You're in the dangerous zone down here, but we'll see how we go. Oh! That was almost. Rubbish. Yes, I'm going to do it again. Here we go, this one here. It was a rubbish throw. I'm taking it. Yes, very good. Round of applause for the catch. Okay, one more. Very good. Matt, can we go long on this? Okay. We'll see what happens. Okay, it might be a bad throw, but we'll see. Oh! That was good. Wonderful. Now, you can take your seats for me. Now you've got your chocolate. You caught the chocolate, you received the chocolate, and you can eat the chocolate. You can either do that now or over coffee or later on at some point today. But you caught it, and you received it, and you're going to eat it, and you're going to enjoy it. Now, I need four people who can't catch. First person comes to mind is Joy Jones, so if you could stand there, I thought that might be you, okay? Who else can't catch? There is no pressure here. So yes, one there. Who else can't catch? There's no pressure on this one. One just here. Grace? You can't, very good. You can stay there. So if you want to stand, that'd be good. And then if you could stand, and one here. Very good. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw the chocolate bar to you, and I just want you not to catch it. Just stand with your hands by your side. I'll try not to hit your face. But I can't promise anything. But just don't catch it. So hands by your side. Wonderful, that's good. Okay, I'm just going to throw it. There you go. Okay. And she didn't catch it. You can afterwards, not yet. Just leave it on the floor for now. Joy, don't catch it. Just, there you go. Grace, I'm going to throw one to you. Good drop, that's what we wanted, no catch. Denny, very good. Wonderful. Now, in that second time, as I threw the chocolate bar out, just didn't catch it. Just let it bounce away, kind of didn't do anything with it. And actually, this was just kind of an image that kind of came to my mind. I want you to think about this image as you kind of go through your week this week. There will be times when you share faith with someone, where you tell someone about Jesus Christ. And it will be literally like that you're just throwing something at them. It's bouncing off. Oh, sorry, my mic's on. Bouncing off them and falling down. And you'll think to yourself, they're not taking this and they're not accepting it. Because they're rejecting it. And that's okay. Well, it's not okay, but it is okay in this instance. And there'll be other times where you will share faith this week. And someone will catch it. And they'll open it. And they'll enjoy it. And they'll eat the chocolate. And they'll be exactly the same as you share faith with them. You'll share faith with them this week and they'll accept it. They'll catch hold of it. And they'll accept the thing that you've given and accept the thing that you've sown into their lives and into their hearts. Because our job is to sow. Whatever the seed may be, we would be people that would sow. Wherever we go, we would be sowers for the kingdom. Sometimes the seed will fall in a hard place. Sometimes it will fall in a shallow place. Sometimes it will fall in a thorny place. And it won't produce a crop at all. But my job is just to sow. There'll be other times where we sow seed and it lands in good soil. And it produces a crop. And that's okay. And then we watch it grow. It's our responsibility to sow. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility to sow. The third part of my message today is that of grow. And if you're following the story of the sower here, you'll get to the place of realizing this is absolutely nothing to do with you whatsoever. So you can relax. The first part is that we have to go. It's an action, it's a doing. We have to go. We can't just let whatever will be. We have to go. And as we go, we have to sow. We have to tell people, we have to share faith, we have to let people know and tell them what's going on. But the final part is the grow. Because I can't make it grow. And you can't make the seed grow. In the story, the farmer, he sowed the seed. He did all that he could do, but he could not make that thing grow. He could try and do whatever he could. He could water it and put it in the right place and make sure it's in the right soil. But he couldn't do anything to make it grow. Only God makes the seed grow. And it's exactly the same with us. As we share faith, we go and we sow, and then we watch to see whether God makes it grow. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 to 9, Paul says this: I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labour, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. God is the one that makes it grow. It's hands-off responsibility, not mine. God is the one who will make the seed grow. And the one who plants and the one who waters, they have one purpose. Their purpose is to sow and to water. To sow and to water. Our responsibility, the only responsibility we have, is that we go and that we sow. And God will do the growing. There's different ways that we get to share faith. And I finish with just this, just as we kind of come into close. There's loads of different ways to share faith. I love it because Matthew says, Matthew 28 puts it like, go and make disciples. In Matthew 28, Matthew 28, 18, I think it was. And Mark, he puts it like, go and preach the good news to all creation. And just these two elements of this, let's go. Go and make disciples, Matthew says. Mark says, go and preach the good news to all creation. And the good news for me and for you is that he then doesn't go on to say how to do it. It's just go and do it. It's go and make disciples. It would have been so much easier, would it not, if Jesus would have said, go and make disciples, go and preach the good news to all creation, do this, 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 and this, and everything will be okay, and people will just respond, and they'll give their lives to God, and everything will be hunky-dory. That would have been so much easier if we could carry on reading that. But he just says, go. Go and make disciples. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So my challenge for you for this week is that you would want, there's four challenges. One is that you would just give it a try. Give it a try. Dr. Pepper advert, what's the worst that could happen? You know, there's these kind of moments where we kind of, we build up in our own minds and our own heads of what other people are going to say and what they'll think. Or maybe we've been scarred in the past by sharing faith before and it was totally rejected. But actually, the parable of the sower, that's what it's all about. There's going to be times when they totally reject the thing that you tell them. But the farmer still sows. The farmer still goes out and he still sows his seed. And even if people reject our message or have rejected our message before, we're still called to sow. We're still called to go and to sow the word into people's lives. So my first challenge is just give it a try. My second is, through things that you say, you can go and preach the good news to all creation by saying things to people. We all have a story to tell of how God has made a difference in our life. For those of us that are Christ followers, we've got a story of things that God has done in our lives. So we can go and we can tell. We can preach the good news by speaking to those people that we come into contact with. The third opportunity is this. There will be opportunities within your week where you could pray for someone. I'm sure there'll be. I'm sure there'll be a time this week where you'll see someone. Someone will say something to you. And we have options to make. We can either say, oh, that's really bad news. I'm really sorry to hear that. Or we could say, could I pray for you? Would you mind if I just prayed for you? I'm a Christian. I believe that God can do amazing things. You can share something that God has done for you if you want to. And just say, can I just pray for you? And they might say no. They might say no. I remember when I went to visit the school over in India. And we then went to the eye hospital, and there was a girl who was blind in this eye hospital. And I really sensed that God said to me, go and pray for this girl. And I sat there and I was like, no, not going to do it. not going to do it. And eventually she up and she left, and I thought, I need to. So I grabbed the interpreter because I don't speak the language, and went with this guy, and I just said, would you please just say to this girl that I'm a Christian? I believe that God can do amazing things. I believe that he's a miracle working God. I'd just love to pray for you. And the girl said, no. And I was so broken by that. And I just thought, oh. But do you know what? I then had a choice to make from that moment to say, do I live in that regret and that rejection, for the rest of my life? Or do I keep on sowing? Do I just try again? Do I try again and do I try again and do I try again? And yes, there's been times when people have said, yeah, you can pray for me actually. If you think it's going to make a difference, then give it a go. But there's other times where people will say no. But what's the worst that could happen? They just say no. Take hold of opportunities that come your way this week to pray for people. There's other things that you can do this week. And my fourth one is that of your actions. Go and be Christ in your community. Go be his hands and be his feet. Go and do something to help someone this week. Buy someone coffee. Buy someone something in a shopping queue. Do something for someone that you would not normally do for yourself, but let your actions be that of Christ. So that maybe someone might just say to you, why did you do that? Why did you buy them coffee? You don't even know who they are. Why did you pay for their petrol at the petrol pump? You don't know who they are. Why did you do it? It creates this opportunity. Well, I'm a Christ follower. It just opens up that opportunity that we would be Christ in our actions. That we would be his hands and that we would be his feet. For some of us, it's just being kind to someone this week. It's just being nice to someone this week. It's doing something for someone this week. Because within our actions, we want to be a mature disciple. We want to go. We want to sow into the places and the communities where we are. So try it, tell it, pray for people, and live out your actions. Will you stand with me just as we come to a close and the band are going to come? I'm just going to read one more verse. And if you've got your Bible with you, please keep hold of it. And because I want us just as we close, just to kind of ponder on these words that we've looked at this morning. So if you've got your Bible, go back to Matthew 28 and 16 down to 20. And in Matthew 28, as we go through this whole thing of Jesus has been there. He's lived his life, he's died, he's risen again. He then meets his disciples and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach them everything that I have commanded you. And the final part, which is so vital and so key, that we find in verse 20, and it says this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I want you just to ponder on those words for a moment. Just as we kind of close this service, that actually we're not doing this in our own strength. I'm not a farmer on my own who's trying to do it. Who's trying just to sow seed and tell people about God, just thinking, I'll just do it on my own and it'll be all right and what's going on. But actually, we have one who goes with us. We have the one who comes with us every single step of the way. I am with you always to the very end of the age.